The summer TV season is underway, and that means networks are rolling out dozens of new shows. It's NPR TV critic Eric Deggan's job to watch all those shows and then help us make sense of them. Eric, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
So let's start with a familiar name.
Jennifer Lopez, global pop phenomenon who sold over 80 million albums worldwide, movie icon and TV superstar who got her break as a professional dancer.
I started as a dancer, and I know it takes commitment, passion, heart. There's been dance shows, but we wanted to create the Olympics of dance.
Go J-Lo.
I
Go
know.
J-Lo.
Do we have to watch another dance competition show?
Well, I mean, you don't have to. NBC is hoping you will. Whenever I watch one of these unscripted competition type shows, I always sort of ask myself, like, what's the engine that's going to drive people to see this? When you watch The Voice, it's very clearly about the judges and hanging out with them and sort of basking in their clever celebrity. And it's not so much about the contestants. American Idol was sort of the converse. It was much more about the singers than the celebrity judges. You know, here it's hard to sort of understand, like, what is going to make people want to watch this. You know, J-Lo is of course, being J-Lo. And they present these dancers that are already very good. You're not seeing people who are amateurs kind of mature like you would on an American Idol or a Voice. You're seeing dancers who are already at the top of their game vying against other well-known, in some cases internationally known dancers. And will that story be enough to make people tune in week after week after week? I guess we'll see.
I admit, I have a soft spot for some of these competition shows. But why do you think Americans love them so much?
Well, at their best, they have several different kind of stories going on at the same time. I mean, the first thing is, of course, the average person who has the Cinderella story, you know, the waitress in Kelly Clarkson, the waitress in a bar who suddenly you discover that she has this world-class talent. So that's part of it. Part of it is, frankly, the celebrity judges, you know, watching somebody like Howard Stern or Simon Cowell do what they do. And then finally, in a way, you can sort of play along. You're a surrogate, you know, you can experience it right along with them. There's all these different stories playing out at the same time, and the best shows find a way to harness the best stories, and that's why you come back again and again, and that's why The Voice and America's Got Talent and American Idol were so successful for so long.
NBC's The Carmichael Show premiered season 3 on Wednesday. It's a family comedy, but this is interesting. The writers like to take on current events, and in this clip from season 2, Mrs. Carmichael tries to stop her husband from putting a Donald Trump campaign sign in front of their home.
Joe, you are not putting that on my lawn. I don't want people thinking some Tea Party 1%ers are living in this house.
Come on, there's a beat-up washing machine in the driveway. I'm sure nobody's going to think that.
All right, so that's funny. But the first episode in the new season tackled the issue of sexual assault, kind of a tough issue to make comedy out of. How did they do, Eric?
Well, you know, this is a show that likes to take tough issues and kind of bounce them around the various characters in the ensemble. Gerard Carmichael is this up-and-coming comic, and it's centered on his life. So you can take an issue like sexual assault, and basically his brother is afraid that he may have accidentally sexually assaulted somebody and seriously kind of believes it. But they take that idea and they kind of explore it from the eyes of, you know, older Black Americans, younger Black people, and that way they kind of take the issue apart and try to have fun with it too. You know, it does harken back to these old sitcoms like All in the Family and Maude that used to do this regularly, and it's interesting that it feels so fresh now because other comedies are more subtle about how they talk about these issues, I think.
Mm. So I got to ask your opinion about this next one. There's some new game shows premiering this season. Jamie Foxx hosts a musical game show called Beat Shazam.
Tonight, three teams will battle it out to see who's the fastest at identifying the monster hit song. The quicker they answer, the more money they can make. And in the end, only one team is going to square off against the greatest musical mind on the planet. What's the name? Shazam.
This is based on the music app Shazam. But look, Jamie Foxx is an Academy Award winner. Do you find it strange that he's doing this?
Well, it's interesting. I sort of feel like Steve Harvey kind of opened the floodgates here. Steve Harvey is a guy who came along and hosted Family Feud, but he also has like a huge career as a stand-up comic. Of course, he has lots of other TV shows, and he decided to host a game show. And now, all of a sudden, I think the floodgates have kind of opened. So we see Anthony Anderson from Black-ish hosting a game show. We see Alec Baldwin hosting The Match Game. And now Jamie Foxx is probably the next iteration. Hosting these shows is not considered like the showbiz purgatory that it once was. Huh. And people are hosting these shows now who have robust careers in other areas. And it seems like a fun way to make extra money and to extend their brand in a way to show that they're capable of something that maybe people didn't realize they were capable of.
All right. NPR TV critic Eric Deggans, thanks very much.
Always a pleasure.